You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George, joined by Charles T. Hamilton. And today's show, we had to change our plans really at the last minute because of an article that came out this morning about the Sacramento Kings, or not completely about the Sacramento Kings, really had to do with the three-team trade that the Kings were involved in with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Utah Jazz at the trade deadline. But what everybody's talking about is a small snippet of the story that is completely revolved around the front office and how Sacramento Kings struggled, I guess, in negotiating that deal. We'll dive headfirst into that. Also, we have some highlights for you, a highlight package courtesy of the G-Man and the Kings Radio Network of last night's Sacramento Kings win over the Dallas Mavericks. We'll get to that as well. And then Chuck and I will share some of our thoughts on the Kings and Rockets game tonight and the fast approaching NBA All-Star weekend. But before that, Chuck, I know you and I just got off of KHTK's airwaves filling in on The Drive, which you can catch Charles and myself and Kyle Mattson on every single morning this week from 6 to 9 a.m. on KHTK. Download the KHTA app to hear that, or you can listen on AM 1140 if you're in the Sacramento area. But while we are on the air, this article drops, Chuck, and let me read the major bit that the Sacramento Kings were involved in, and then we will go back and forth. On Altman had negotiated the trade with the Kings, assistant general manager Brandon Williams, who works under GM Vlade Divac. The management structure in Sacramento can make deals dicey because Divac seldom gets on the phone for the trade building parts, and yet he ultimately has decision-making power with owner Vivek Ranadive. That's why at 3 a.m. Eastern Time, deal memo sent from Sacramento to Cleveland left Altman at first incredulous and then angry. Suddenly, Kings center Jorgis Papiannis had been included in as part of the three-way trade. Cleveland and Utah were adamant that Papiannis' name had never been discussed. Williams would later say that Papiannis or Malachi Richardson were set to be included in the deals and insisted his notes confirm that. Because Sacramento had the makings for a trade with Toronto for Richardson, rival executives say that the Kings pushed to spare themselves the embarrassment of waiving the number 13 overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft and let someone else do it. In the middle of the night, Altman and Williams vocally disagreed over the insertion of Papiannis into the trade. Cleveland couldn't take him into its roster because of the NBA's Reaper tax, I think is how you pronounce it, that would turn the balance of his $2.3 million contract this year and $2.4 million contract next year into three times that with the luxury tax bill. In the morning, Altman let the Jazz know about Sacramento's inclusion of Papiannis. Jazz GM Dennis Lindsay was livid. To him, this was a deal breaker. He hadn't dealt directly with Sacramento because there had been no need. The deal went through Cleveland, and Altman had never suggested to Lindsay that Utah would have to take a 7-foot draft bust onto their roster. I have plenty of things to break down and pull from this, but Chuck, after hearing that, your initial reactions to how the Kings come across in this article and whether or not Kings fans should ultimately be concerned?
Dare I say they come off a little dysfunctional, as we've heard. I don't understand why you have a GM that isn't in on trade talks until the very last part and that it's difficult to deal with them because of this. It's just another problem in a long line of problems for the Kings over the last however many years, and it's a bad look, and there's no reason for me to think that it's a lie or anything. Why would two teams lie about this? It's coming from both the Jazz and the Cavs, and not that they tried to throw Papiannis in on the trade, but that it's tough to deal with the Kings, and then the fact that apparently it was a last-second thing that they tried to do and throw Papiannis in there, basically sneak him in, which is just a bad look. And, you know, you have to have trust between front offices and teams when you're working together and working towards things. And when you just erode that trust by doing things like that, it's not good. It's a bad look, and it's bad for the team.
Right. You need to have a working relationship with other GMs in the league because this stuff travels, and reputation is extremely important in how teams are going to work with you and approach you. Ultimately, all these GMs are competing against one another, and that's not lost in this whole situation. However, you need to make sure that there is a respect level there, and not just respect of, hey, I know you're Vlade and I know you're the Sacramento Kings and you're an organization that we have to take seriously, but that I know you know what you're doing and I can actually approach you in legitimate trade talks without having stuff like this happen. I don't blame the Sacramento Kings for trying to do everything in their power to get rid of Papagiannis in a trade so they wouldn't have to waive him and avoid that media attention. Ultimately, we saw around here, and we've talked about it for the last two podcasts, so obviously there was reaction to waiving Papagiannis, another number one overall pick, an image that, or something that Sacramento didn't necessarily want, tarnishing their franchise's image. However, you brought up the details about Brandon Williams, the assistant GM for the Sacramento Kings, really being involved in all the trade negotiations. And that's where my major concern is, that what was brought up in this article is that two separate organizations believe that it's difficult to work with the Sacramento Kings because they aren't working directly with the Kings general manager. They're working with the assistant general manager that then has to go to the next tier, that is Vlade, that then has to go to the next tier, that is owner Vivek Ranadive.
Yeah.
And there's a level of respect there that you lose from having to go through all of that. Plus, if it's that difficult and if general managers feel like they have to take the time to work their way through three separate tiers of Sacramento Kings front office and ownership to get a deal done, I don't blame them for wanting to turn the other cheek and to go and approach deals elsewhere and not want to take the time and waste their time with the Kings organization. It's the worst part of this for me, Chuck, is that the Sacramento Kings had been trying to do everything in their power to escape this, to move away from stuff like this. And for the most part, they had. They'd been in a relatively positive light in the national media. No, they haven't been winning, but they were going forward. They were sticking to a plan, which is the first time they've done that in quite a while. They were sticking to a head coach. They were sticking to their GM. And ultimately, they were riding this wave together and trying to fix things after the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Well, now, once again, we take two or three gigantic steps back into the Sacramento Kings, and their front office can't seem to get out of their own way. So how can this team get any better on the court and beat other franchises when they really can't even beat themselves?
I mean, well, you can still get better on the court even if your front office is... Well, the players you have now can get better on the court. I don't know about adding players because the front office does have to do that.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't affect the play on the court at all. But another thing is it just feels like there's a difference in opinions between the coaching staff and the front office also. And when stories like this come out about the front office, it, you know, makes me side with the coaching staff a little bit that it's just – it's – I mean – you know, dysfunctional, oddly run. It's not a good look for them. It's definitely not. And, you know, maybe you should stop hiring former players to be GMs and find someone with front office experience or someone, you know, people have made excuses as to why Vlade doesn't get on the phone. Well, you should have a GM that will get on the phone. You know, that should be a part of these deals and trade transactions, et cetera. It's just a bad look and doesn't really help anyone right now.
Well, hopefully we'll get more details as the day goes on. Maybe the Sacramento Kings will take an opportunity to respond to this. I think that wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea as long as they know and have something prepared for what they're going to say. The last thing that they need is another Vlade slip of the tongue. He had after the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Well, we had a better deal a couple days ago, but that fell through. Kings need to avoid that at all costs. If they're going to open their mouth and say anything, which I hope they do, I hope they have something prepared and legitimate reasons for why all this is going on, or at least their side and their take on everything. Because again, take this with a grain of salt, because this is from the perspective of two outside sources, two different teams that aren't in Sacramento, so we're not getting in the story at all Sacramento's point of view. But ultimately, something that you didn't necessarily want to have to wake up to and read this morning, and just another kink in the armor that is the Sacramento Kings trying to get back to success. Courtesy of the G-Man and the Sacramento Kings Radio Network, let's take you through some of the highlights from last night's Sacramento Kings win in Dallas. It's their first time winning or sweeping a series in Dallas. since, gosh, early or mid-2000s. So let's take you through. G-Man had some great calls last night as the Kings made their way to the victory.
Zeebo in transition, had a notion at the top of the arc, now drives on Dirk, gets position, goes high glass, gets the bounce this time, and it drops in. So three straight possessions, Sacramento has scored, and they now have a three-point advantage on a 6-0 run at 8-5. Kings trying to extend a 6-0 run as they find Zeebo back inside to Fox, twisting reverse, he's got it, low right side of the post, Rick Carlisle will take a timeout. Eight unanswered points for the Kings after a slow start. We've played almost 5 minutes and the Kings have a five-point lead at 10-5. Bogdanovich behind the back pass to Fox for a three. It's no good. Justin Jackson keeps it alive, chases it down. Fresh clock for Sacramento. Back out to the Fox, finds a seam into the paint. Twist, scoop, scores! De'Aaron Fox driving down the right side of the lane for the second time with a twister to make it 14-8. It's the biggest Sacramento advantage in the early minutes. De'Aaron Fox drive sets up Costa. Costa converts the alley-oop. Fox with the assist. He was attacking the left baseline. Costa in the low post on the right side of the lane. Makes it 21-11. Costa drops it off to Carter. Looks left. Now drives it hard right. Circles under the basket. Kicks it out to Buddy Hield. Shakes left. Drives right. Takes it all the way to the rack and scores. Nice driving basket by Buddy Hield off the bounce to make it 27-13 in favor of Sacramento. McDermott has scored all 4 points for the... Oh, here's a block by Costa Kouvas on a McDermott crossover attempt, driving aggressively on the baseline. Kings in transition, ahead to Carter. Corner three, Vince Carter knocks down the triple. There's your Berko Redwood moment of the game. The Kings open up an advantage here of 35-20. Thanks to the great block by Costa Kouvas, the transition three from the near right corner from Vince Carter. Here's a turnover and a steal. Vince Carter on the run. Kings with numbers. Vince Saturday above the arc. Throws down the big-time rip with the right hand. And you can hear the crowd sensing what was coming. A 12-2 Sacramento run. The Kings are now leading by 19 at 41-22. I still love seeing Vince Carter go above the rim. Eight on the possession. Now to Bogdanovich for a runner in the lane. Doesn't get it. Kept alive by Kouvas. He gets the rebound. Out to Temple. He'll try for three. He's got the triple. Kings now 4 of 12 from downtown. They lead it 46-28 as we move inside 7 minutes to play. Smith, Dennis going for the triple. Misses it badly. I mean, he bricked that one. Willie Cauley-Stein is back in with the rebound. They're heading out of Temple to Fox on the right wing. Enters to Willie. Back to the basket. Back to Fox. Drives. Quick reverse. Score the basket. Nice, quick, explosive move that time by De'Aaron Fox. And a terrific bounce pass for the assist from Willie Cauley-Stein. Fox on the right wing. Nice pass inside on the bounce. He threw a laser in there to Justin Jackson, who got a layup low post left. That almost caught me totally by surprise. I mean, he cranked it up and threw it sidearm down in there. A perfect placement on the bounce. Jackson the easy score. Here's Fox probing. Feet to the far corner. Bogey going to try from the same spot again, and this time he makes it. Feet planted right in front of the Mavericks bench in the deep right corner, and it gives Sacramento the biggest lead of the evening at 68-44. Bogey moves to the right, kicks the pass left. Justin Jackson for three. He's got the triple. Great spacing by the Kings. Nice find for the assist by Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich on the right angle, being crowded by Berea. Gives it up to Randolph. Hasn't scored yet in the second half against Dirk. Step back for two. There he has a 20-point ball game. Zeebo's first bucket of the third quarter makes it 75-61. Bogdanovich straight away. He'll try for the triple. He's got the bucket. Bogdanovich knocking down his third three-pointer in six attempts. He now has 15 points. Kings lead it 80-63. Sacramento now 8 of 21 from three-point land with that make. Buddy Hield on the right wing. The Temple on top. He's open for three, and he hits the triple. Garrett Temple now in double figures, has 11 points. He is the fifth King to score 10 or more. The lead for Sacramento is up to 23, 94-71. Temple comes to Carter. Carter going to try for three. He's got the triple. Vince Carter, who spent 3 years in a Dallas Mavericks uniform, won a championship ring with this club in 2011. Now burying his second three-pointer of the night. He has 8 points. He also has dished off seven assists. Great numbers from the old pro. Timeout taken by Carlisle. De'Aaron Fox working behind a Costa pick. Now drives it hard right. Plants in the paint. Got to create. He scores. using the favored left hand. He was on the right side of the lane. 111-99 Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox with that hoop now has 8 points. Fox turned it last time, gives to Bogdanovich, swings to Jackson, challenged in the corner to Costa, the flip in the paint. That was about a 12-foot flipper, and he scored it. 109-97, and the Kings desperately needed that. The Kings now are wisely spreading the floor way out. Fox just across the midcourt line, creeping forward now. It's a screen from Costa, launches for three. Dagger. De'Aaron Fox. They'll review it to see if it was a three or a two, but any way you count it, it was critically needed by the Sacramento Kings. All the Kings have to do now is dribble out the final seconds in the backcourt. De'Aaron Fox will do that. And the Kings, who got a road win, their first road win of the season in this building, back on October 20th, survive a great push by the Mavericks to win it 114-109.
Thank you to the G-Man and the Sacramento Kings Radio Network for all of those highlights. A good win for the Sacramento Kings. The only problem that I may have with that win, well, two major problems. The first one was that, yes, the Dallas Mavericks were making a lot of their shots down the stretch, but you would like to see the Kings, even though they had a big lead, 25 points at one point, or 26 at one point, you would like to see them close out a game a lot stronger than what they did. Giving up 38 points in the final frame, really making sure that you had to use almost every single point of that big lead you built up to secure the win, that final score does not tell the story of really how dominant the Kings were in that game. Mm-hmm. And people who didn't watch the game would look back and think, okay, the Kings just battled and got a nice win, when in reality, they were the better team throughout the entire night, and they were in control from the get-go.
Yeah, and almost let it go at the end. That's the problem. But yes, they did play a very good three-quarters, a dominant three-quarters against a team with more vets. Whether that means that it's a better team, I think they're pretty evenly matched. But on paper, you'd probably pick the Mavs over the Kings most times, just because, you know, they have Harrison Barnes and Dirk and Wesley Matthews and other veterans who have played in the league and know how to win. So it was a solid win for the Kings. You obviously don't like the 38 points in the fourth. Something I know we're going to get to, but also I don't understand what it's going to take for Buddy Hield to actually get significant playing time. I think he only had 17 minutes. That's just ridiculous, especially when you have guys like VC, Randolph, who played really well, Costa, you know, all these vets getting 25, 30 plus minutes, and a guy like Buddy can only get 17 and is your best shooter, possibly the best scorer on the team, is insane. I really don't understand the logic behind that or who he might have pissed off to not be able to get on the court.
Yeah, all four veterans played last night, and all four of them had more minutes than Buddy Hield, who is expected to be one of the biggest go-to scorers going forward and a major piece of the young Sacramento Kings trying to develop into maybe a good dynasty or get back to the playoffs in a couple years down the road. So Buddy Hield being on the bench and only playing 17 minutes is definitely a head scratcher. We're going to get into this more because we've talked about this in the last couple of episodes. We're definitely going to get into this more on tomorrow's podcast when we have a little bit more time. But I expect Buddy Hield to be on the floor tonight, if nothing else, because it's the second night of a back-to-back and Buddy didn't play that much in the first half in the first game when the veterans played a lot. Either way, that's not a valid excuse for why Buddy Hield couldn't play 30, 35 minutes last night. He needs to be on the floor. This is the one area of Dave Yeager's rotation that I have the biggest question mark with, if it's something that, and a lot of people have been saying it's his defense, right? And to me, that's not even close to a valid excuse because the Kings are the worst defensive team in the league.
Yeah.
And if you're going to choose to play Garrett Temple over him to help your defense, that's fine. But one guy is not going to make the difference out of the five on the floor. And when the Kings are already terrible defensively and their only option is to try and outscore a team, why not have Buddy Hield on the floor?
Yeah, if their defense was like middle of the pack without Buddy on the floor and then the worst in the league with him on the floor, I'd understand. But they're the worst no matter what. So there's no reason for him not to be getting minutes. And there's plenty of guys that get minutes on this team that aren't very good defenders either. So I don't buy that excuse. What you said about tonight, hopefully he does get minutes, because you're not going to play VC, you know, back-to-back 30-minute games or whatever he had. I think he had 26 last night or something like that. So he should be getting more minutes, consistently more minutes, but tonight hopefully he'll get more run than he did last night.
It's All-Star Weekend getaway day for the Sacramento Kings and the Houston Rockets. Any chance, Chuck, the Kings may catch the Houston Rockets napping as they head into their All-Star break?
It's possible. It's as good a time as any to catch them napping and just looking forward to the All-Star break and getting away for a week. I think because it's not. I know it's been a storyline with the Warriors about how they need to get away from each other, but it's not just the Warriors. Every team in the league needs to get away from each other and just recoup, recharge the batteries, be in their own world, and come back. So, I mean, the Rockets could be looking forward to getting out of town, looking forward to their vacation or their holiday, as I call it, this week. So it's possible. Would I bet on it? No. But would I be surprised if it happened? No.
So, Kings fans, we want your feedback on everything that we've talked about in this podcast, especially in regards to that ESPN article that came out. I encourage you to read the entire thing and then maybe read it a couple times and really sit down and think about how it makes you feel as a Kings fan, your trust and your optimism in regards to this front office. Maybe if you feel like there's a fracture in between, like we feel, potentially a fracture between the front office itself and the coaching staff, whether or not this is just overblown, if you trust more of the Kings side or believe more of the national media side. Ultimately, gather some thoughts and share them with us at @MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also reach Charles on Twitter at CTH415. Yes, send them to us and we'll maybe read some of them, respond to a lot of them as we continue our podcasts this week. But we're hoping for the best for the Sacramento Kings tonight, getting ready for All-Star Weekend again. Two Sacramento Kings, maybe three, are participating in All-Star Weekend. We know Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic are going to be on Team World in the Rising Stars game. And also Buddy Hield is competing in the Skills Challenge. There is a chance that De'Aaron Fox will be entered into the Rising Stars Challenge on Team USA because Lonzo Ball is hurt and Fox is expected to be the number one guy to replace him.
Not a crazy prediction, but we'll see Buddy Hield in that three-point contest within the next couple of years, I'm pretty sure. He deserves to be there for sure with the percentage he's shooting. Not this year, but maybe next year.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast today. We hope you enjoy the Kings and Rockets tonight. We will see you tomorrow for complete reactions to all of that, plus your reactions to Buddy Hield's playing time and more about this ESPN story, hopefully. But until then, for my partner, Charles T. Hamilton, my name is Matt George. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.